says, what should we say then? That the law itself is sin? Out of the question. All the same, if it had not been for the law, I should have known that sin was. For instance, I should not have known what it meant to covet if the law had not said you are not to covet. But once it found the opportunity through the commandment, sin produced in me all kinds of covetousness. As long as there is no law, sin is dead. If you want to hear this taught, listen to get the teaching on Romans, because it's pretty heavy stuff. And it really isn't going to help a whole lot with what we're talking about. But basically, because there is a written law, because God has placed in us a conscience, and because we know that, you are held accountable to that. And especially in America, we know everyone has access to the Word of God. Very few people, as we're getting to generations that are so far removed from the church, truthfully, more and more people do not know God's laws. But overall, as a nation, we know that stealing is wrong. We know that these things are wrong. And because we know that God says they're wrong, we will be judged if we participate in them. And there's something in that whole idea that causes Satan to want you to do those sinful things. And that's why the Bible is very clear. Because of Christ, we now don't have to. You don't have to do anything that you do that's sinning. Nothing. Because you're born again of the Spirit. Okay. Once there was no law, I used to be alive. But when the commandment came, sin came to life and I died. The commandment was meant to bring life, but I found it brought death because of sin. Finding its opportunity by means of the commandment beguiled me, and by means of it killed me. So then, the law is holy, and what it commands is holy and upright and good. Does that mean that something good resulted in my dying? Out of the question. But sin, in order to be identified as sin, caused my death through that good thing. And so it is by means of the commandment that sin shows its unbounded sinful power. Really get the tape. I really taught this really well when it was what I was called to teach. And it really will set you free. Romans is some very deep revelation of the whole idea between darkness and light and sin and why you're held accountable now that you know. And I do believe on Judgment Day, people's judgment will be according to the revelation or the light that they had. And so God will make the whole thing fair. But he's placed even in nature certain laws. And we won't get into all that, but in the reprobate teaching even talks about some laws you can just tell by nature. You can tell that a man shouldn't be with a man intimately because nothing's produced from it. And you can tell that just by nature. God didn't even have to write it down anywhere. No one has to preach it. But things would get so reprobate in the last days, it says, that they would exchange that truth for a lie. And then that's the powerful teaching we have on homosexuality. It's not that God was saying homosexuality is the worst sin, the unforgivable sin, or anything close. He actually put it right in the teaching with things like lying. What he was saying, what Paul was saying in that whole idea was, look, things are going to get so bad that you won't believe this, but things are going to get so bad that men are going to be with men and women with women, and everybody's going to act like that's okay. That's how perverted things will get one day. It was almost like an idea of, can you believe things will get this bad? And folks, we're living in the society where, yeah, right now, if you aren't for gay marriage, something is wrong with you, according to the law of sinlessness. And that's what that scripture is talking about. That's reprobate, that teaching on reprobate thinking. It's like God has put things even in nature to show his ways. Okay. Well, we are well aware that this law is spiritual, but I am a creature of flesh and blood, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand my own behavior. Okay, here's a part getting into addiction and habits. I do not understand my own behavior. I do not act as I mean to, but I do things that I hate. Is there anyone here who can relate to that? Okay. And as you're growing and maturing in the Lord, every one of us could say there was a time, even as a Christian, when I could say this was true. And to the place that you've gotten revelation, to the place that you got maturity, you can now say, you know, I used to be able to say that was true for this, but not anymore. I no longer do that thing. And God wants you to see here that as long as you can recognize that what you're doing is wrong and not justify it, and you can ask God to help you to get free, you're not being a hypocrite. It's when you like your sin and you refuse to change that sin, and then you begin to justify that sin, that you're in danger of being a hypocrite. And the Bible says the hypocrites are in the lake of fire. That's why I really go after people with religious spirits. And I'll just say this straight out. If you have blatant sin in your life, you are not manifesting the presence of God. You are not anointed. You are not moving in the gifts of the Spirit. And if you think you are, you have a counterfeit religious spirit, which means you think you're hearing God. You think you're preaching and praying and all these things. You're not, because the Bible is very clear. God will not allow bitter and pure to come out of the same fountain. There's a big difference between somebody who's young in the Lord and beginning to get free, such as Crystal, over someone who's been saved for years and think that they're spiritual, but they're still drinking or smoking or watching pornography or cursing. There is something, it's an expectation that you're going to change into the likeness of Christ. There's an expectation that a new believer is going to need some help being built up and edified and equipped to live a holy life. And at the same time, they're going to need some deliverance and inner healing. That's truly the work of the fivefold ministry. But there is something totally wrong with the concept that you can actually have both things going on at the same time, as far as thinking you're mature in the Lord. If there's no other reason to hate your sin than to hate it because it's totally hindering your walk with the Lord. I hear people say, well, it hurts my witness. No, you don't have a witness. It's hypocritical. And that should be enough to make you hate it. And the thing to do is to admit. And if you don't hate your sin, then just admit you don't hate your sin. At least admit it. And then ask God to help you to hate it. When the disciples didn't have faith, they didn't fake it. They said, Lord, help our unbelief. And he did. That's the key to growing in God. Let me tell you the key to growing in God. Get real. Just get real. Boy, what a concept. As if God doesn't already know all this anyway. Quit trying to fool yourself and make the word say what you want. Go look up all the scriptures about who will not be in heaven. Drunkards will not be in heaven. Liars will not be in heaven. There is sin in your life that will take you to hell, and you can call yourself a Christian all you want. But see, it doesn't cut it with God that you're a Christian in sin. That's worse than being a heathen in sin. See, a Christian in sin has a choice not to be there. A heathen in sin has no way out. And I don't know why we get some thinking that because we're Christian, it's okay to sin. And that's what he's saying in all this. It's out of the question. You know the law. You know this is wrong. You have the revelation that this brings death. And yet, but then he goes on to say that there is a law of death that works that says, I do the things I don't want to do. And I don't do the things that I know I should be doing. So right here, we really see a strong truth about getting free from bondage and addiction and wrong habits. And that's admitting that we're doing things we don't want to do. And let me say this. If you still want to do those things, you need to see if you are born again. You need to really see if you're born again. Do you really know God? Are you really, really born again? Do you really, have you died to self and asked Christ to come in and take over in your life and you want him? Because if that's the truth, then at least have the revelation that I can't quit this thing, but I hate it because it put my Lord on the cross. How can you call yourself a Christian and like what crucified the Lord? Unless you never had the revelation that you're cigarette smoking, you're drinking, you're cussing, you're pornography, your adultery, your fornication is the reason he died. Okay, it's why he died. So you can't really be a Christian unless you hate sin that crucified your Lord. Don't forget that he says on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy for you? Didn't I do this? And he's going to say to them, now they think they're believers. Okay? They think they're believers. They even think they prophesied. They even think they cast out demons. They think they're believers who were going for it. And he says to them, I can't imagine, this would be the worst. It's one thing to know you're going to hell. It's one thing to know you're going to hell, you die, and boom, you're in the presence of God, and you realize, oh man, this stuff is real, I am going to hell. I think it's a really sad thing to think that everything's okay between you and God, and then get there and find out you're going to hell. Am I scaring you? I hope so, because the scriptures ought to scare you and to quit believing the devil. The Bible says some are snatched us from the flames of hell. I didn't make this stuff up. Now let me say this. It is better to do what Paul is suggesting right here, and that's to confess your sin and say, God, help me hate what nailed you to the tree. Now, I want you to stop for 1 second and realize, if you don't hate your sin, then it's really maybe not you that doesn't hate that sin. Maybe there's a demon, a powerful evil spirit, a strong man in you that doesn't want you to go to heaven. And maybe you think that's you. Because we talked about this. This was really powerful. I don't know which tape series it's on. I don't even know if it's out yet. But one tape series that we had, it may be the one Agreement with the Son. You can choose who you agree with. And if something in you doesn't agree with that, it's not you. See, we all think we're led by what we feel. Well, I feel like I still like to drink beer. I feel like it can't hurt anything. So therefore, wait a minute. Why do you, as a Christian, feel like that? Maybe it's not you. What do you choose knowing God's word? Well, knowing God's word, I choose not to be a drunkard because I don't want to go to hell. That's what I choose. All right? So this thing in you that thinks drinking's okay needs to be cast out of you. Because it isn't in agreement with what you're really choosing. Do you understand what I'm saying? This thing that's a spirit of gluttony, and there's scriptures in it. We got it on that tape on foul spirits that God showed her. It was very powerful. Gluttony is a devil that wants to take you to hell. It wants to destroy your health, but it wants to take you to hell. It's a demon using your body to eat. All kinds of digestive problems. All kinds of foul stuff that goes with it. It's a nasty demon. It's an unclean demon. And what you have to just make a choice tonight is, okay, I agree. It's nasty, it's unclean, it's foul, and I don't want to eat like that anymore. But there's something in me that really wants to eat like that. That's my enemy. I'm not my enemy. You have to separate yourself from where the enemy has convinced you it's you and there's nothing you can do about it. Does that make sense? But that's the good news. The good news is, whoa, there is a demon in me. And let me see. I don't care if I get in trouble for this. If I'm a new creation in Christ, I'm not an addict anymore. You hear that they teach, well, once an addict, always an addict. No. Once I'm born again, I have power now to break free from addiction and stay free from addiction. And I would never prophesy I'm an addict because I'm saying to the devil, I'm still in your court. You still owe me. Now, let me say this. The Bible's very clear. If Satan comes back and you haven't let God deal with it, you're going to be 7 times worse, the addict that you were before. So that's not a license to drink or to do drugs. Because truthfully, if you're living for God, those things aren't options. You don't even want them anymore. This isn't about works. This is about a change in your entire life and being. This is about a new creation in Christ. Anything in your life that doesn't line up with being holy and being who God says you are, it's not you. But I live here with an identity crisis. Good. There's another good tape on that over there. Quit identifying with evil. Quit identifying with your past. Quit identifying with what Satan says. Because that's the word of God. All things have passed away. If you don't believe that and prophesy that, you will continually fight the same demons for the rest of your life.